of joy. That does it for our broadcast. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Burke, Renee Feltzer, Mate Nirmin Sheikh, Steve Martinez, Sam Malkoff, Fanny Masood, Rabbi Karantina, Gazdari, Milu, for Martinez, Doris, Nemo, Alan, Mike DiFilippo, Miguel Nagera, engineer. Special thanks to Becca Staley, Julie Crosby. I'm Amy Goodman with Aaron Mate. Thanks for joining us. Democracy Now! Is a listener-supported grassroots global news hour. You make it possible when you donate at democracynow.org. Thank you so much.
This is Donna with your WUSB concert billboard for Sunday, June 23rd. Rush will be the Nikon at Jones Beach Theater in Wantagh. Joe Delia and the Thieves will be at the Stephen Talk House in Amagansett, 9 p.m. The Mystic will be at the Beach Hut at Cedar Beach in Babylon. Peter Frampton will be at the Paramount in Huntington Village, 8 p.m. Crystal Zigarello and friends will be at the Sandcastle, Cherry Grove, Fire Island this and every Sunday, 10 a.m. Ukrainian Night Concert, Ishka Dance Group and Pianist Dobransky Vocal Group at Eisenhower Park, East Meadow at the Harry Chapin Theater at 7:15. On your billboard for Monday, June 24th, Dragon Smoke will be at the Brooklyn Bowl in Brooklyn, 8 p.m. Your concert billboard for Tuesday, June 25th. The Dave Matthews Band will be at the Nikon at Jones Beach Theater in Wantagh. Mary Mary will be at B.B. King's Manhattan, 10 p.m. Paper Bag, a 70-piece rock band, will be at Mulcahy's in Wantagh, 10 p.m. Drowning Pool will be at the Paramount in Huntington Village, 8 p.m. James Maddock will be at the Brookfield Place Plaza, Manhattan, 5:30. Barnaby Wright with Caitlin Canty will be at the Rockwood Music Hall, Stage 2, 7 p.m. Looking ahead to Wednesday, June 26th, the Big Devil Blue Band will be at Bobby Kieran Patchogue, 7 p.m.
From Manhattan to Montauk, Bridgeport to Amagansett, if your favorite band is there, you'll find it here on the Concert Billboard on WUSB Stony Brook.
And you are listening to radio station WUSB Stony Brook. It's 6:01. Time once again for Off the Wall. And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Tuesday evening, joined tonight by Kyle.
Hi, E.
How you doing?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm all right. Getting through it all, you know? Getting by.
Isn't that the truth?
It is. It really is. Gotta tell you, though, this is like nothing I've ever seen as far as the climate around here.
Yes.
I figure it's probably best not to get too emotional, not to stand up or wave my arms around, because I just don't think I've got it in me to do that.
Yeah.
And, of course, we are referring to universities' continued attempts to kill us all here by pumping the heat on. This, I guess, got to be over 100 degrees in here now, right? It's really getting, with the equipment on.
It's at least 30.
What little equipment remains working? It's unreal. And, you know, it's fine. We're not going to spend the show talking about this, folks, because even though it was one of our most highly rated shows ever, we did talk about it for a full hour, we have other important things to talk about. And we don't want to do the same show twice, even though it seems like we could do this show forever, because nothing ever really changes. But you'd think, after complaining about it solidly for an hour a few weeks ago, that somebody would have done something. And no, instead they just keep pumping the heat into this place. And I don't think, those of you who have electronic equipment know that that's not good for it. And basically, they've got a lot of dead equipment on their hands, this university here.
Yeah, there's a lot of metal sitting around that used to work probably either is obsolete or doesn't work. And, you know, it's the new stuff that needs the consistent temperatures. And I don't think it's so much, you know, this, that, or the other, you know, one temperature or the other. It's consistency. You know, you want to have consistent, whatever the temperature is, and if something's going to fail, it'll fail in good time. And then, you know, maybe that wasn't the right temperature for... But when you have a lot of equipment around, it all gets hot, it all radiates heat. You need extra cooling to even keep that consistent temperature.
This is, you know, whatever subject that is, 101, as far as common sense. When you have expensive equipment, it needs to be taken care of, not abused. And when you blast heat on it for months at a time, it dies. And then we got to raise money to buy more of it. And the people responsible, I don't think they even realize what's going on. Thing is, it's all going to be moved pretty soon, because this building is going to be imploded or exploded or just destroyed one way or another in about a year or so.
Hopefully we won't be here.
I don't know. Maybe they want us to be here. It's almost like slow motion right now, but I don't know. I worry about the future of this place, because we just don't seem to be treated like we actually exist. And our listeners obviously know we do exist. You call in, you support us, you keep us going. But, man, this place, sometimes I think, you know, they're sending a message. There is a space, a beautiful space that we were looking at, that we were hoping to get, completely empty, as because they built yet another sports building on this campus, moved everything over there, and it's completely empty. We could be in there tomorrow, or starting to be in there tomorrow, if we could just get some support. But instead, we're here in the sweltering closet.
And, I mean, there's a lot of equipment involved in running an FM radio station.
You think? Yeah.
And
been doing it since 1977, so the people here know something about it. And,
right.
Would be nice to have that recognized.
Yeah.
All right. Like, any other words on this? Because
we're already getting
look
into
at me
it.
Sweating like this. Yeah. And that's you know, frustration sweat in addition to the heat sweat.
Yeah.
All right. There are other more cheerful things to talk about, such as people being hunted down like dogs around the world and brought to quote-unquote justice in this country.
Mm-hmm.
What do you make of that? The whole Ed Snowden affair, which we talked about and off the hook quite a bit, but it's gotten so big, I think we should talk about it here as well.
Well, it's not about him.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the program. It's about what the government's doing. It's about that kind of Truman Show bubble we all like to think we live in.
Right.
Where everything is rosy, and we just go to our strip malls, and we buy our this and that and the other thing, and go to our jobs, and live in our little isolated worlds. And then we elect somebody every now and then, because we're inundated with news about politicians and stuff. And then we go back to our little worlds, you know, our little communities, our little cliques.
Mm-hmm.
But what's really going on, and the impact is, it affects the entire world. It's global. what's happening is a lot of information technology is coming about, and people are using it and depending on it more and more in developing worlds and in growing economies, and as well as the developed and Western world. And I think people are starting to realize the control that that technology is capable of, and they're starting to see, like, the ways it can be misused and the potential. If it isn't actually 100% opened up and understood at this point, at least the idea, the very concept of it being possible to do sort of overreaching wiretaps or eavesdropping or traffic mining and going through metadata, all these things are coming about. And yet the media is talking about one guy of several during the past couple years, decade, you know, long time. And they're focusing on him. And it's actually making our government look really ignorant.
Not to the people, though.
Silly, though.
Not to the people. Well, the people seem to support this. And that's really what annoys me more than anything else.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, we've been watching some global news and news from other perspectives, and we see how the U.S. looks like a relentless bully and a country that spies on its citizens and spies and abuses other countries. And it's embarrassing. But the icing on the cake is that, according to this poll, 54% of adults believe the federal government should move forward with a criminal case against the NSA leaker, Edward Snowden. Only 38% think he should not face criminal charges. And I imagine even fewer think that he should face a parade, a hero's parade down Broadway. And I'm in that group.
Yeah.
If something like this is happening, do we not have the right to know about it? If our emails, communications are being accessed, looked at by unauthorized parties, and that's what the NSA is as far as I'm concerned. If I send you an email, Kyle, and they read it, they are unauthorized. And I don't care what law you cite, that is not correct. That is not right. They should not be doing this. And, you know, it's not like Edward Snowden reached out and stopped it. He reached out and told us it was happening. That's all he did. He told us this was going on. For that, he's a criminal. Just the knowledge. We're not, let alone stopping it, we're not allowed to even know about it.
They'd have you believe that he's caused damage to this.
Irreparable damage to the United States. What irreparable damage are we talking about here? I've heard
that.
It's
not going anywhere unless people say something and really get up, you know, upset and you know, figure out why these politicians, why our government, is this really our government's job? Are we going to bankroll this and then have our own lives stored forever just in case they need to go back and look through everything that was ever said?
Reality check. You don't get to do that. That's not how life works. You deal with whatever suspicions and evidence you have. You act on that. If you miss something, hey, you missed it, all right? Do better next time. But it doesn't mean you get to go in and read our thoughts and have every single little detail possible about our lives just to cover your own ass. No, it doesn't work that way, and we can't allow it to work that way. Otherwise, we turn into a society of completely paranoid and that's paranoid people that accept any abuse that happens to them. And that's what I'm seeing more and more of. People want to be searched. They want to be spied upon. They want everything to be okay, and they're willing to give up every single freedom necessary as long as they don't take away our guns. You can take away our email and our phone calls and everything else and spy on that and read our minds as long as you tell us that, yeah, you think that'll make us safe. And that's the worst kind of that's the worst kind of compromise to liberty I can think of. You know,
yep.
When you just give it up willingly like that.
Yeah, and I want to look at, like, the causes. I mean, why are people upset? Why are we worried about terror and these kinds of things? Why is that a thing? You know, that I think you got to look at the root of some of these issues.
It's obsession. It's total obsession.
Right.
Now, we all know about the Boston Marathon bombing, the unfortunate incident there, and I don't think that could have been stopped unless, well, I mean, they were kind of stupid, but that kind of a thing, no matter how much reading of emails, these guys were brothers. They didn't need to email each other. You know, they just need to talk to each other face to face to plan something like that. It's not that hard to do. It doesn't happen very often, and that should make people feel like, okay, it's not that crazy where we have to worry about this all the time.
Right.
And affect our lives in such a way that we're not at liberty anymore, you know?
Yeah. So it's been a wild week, and I hear you. I wish that we would focus more on the actual programs and
well,
stuff.
Well, I brought that up. And forgive me if I sound like I'm wandering because I'm about to suffer from heat stroke in this place.
I know. It's really hot.
But basically, it's kind of, an experiment to see just how strong our convictions are. This is a form of torture.
Yeah.
I was thinking of the Boston Marathon, the bombing there. And by the way, not to belittle it, I really don't want to do that, but you do have to hold up numbers. The number of people who died in there is such a small fraction compared to so many other things, whether it be automobile accidents, whether it be gun violence, whether it be accidental gun shootings by toddlers, and certainly drone strikes, suicide bombings in countries that we've invaded and started civil wars and things like that. So minuscule, so tiny, and yet horrible. Yes, totally horrible. But just imagine the scale, you know? Imagine the scale, that horror multiplied by thousands, and then you get to see what the rest of the world is facing.
Yeah.
And that's something we should think about. We really should think about that and realize how lucky we are that it's not like that here. And I'm kind of curious why it's not like that, too. Why so many people have legitimate gripes against us for things we've done to their countries. Why would being attacked 24/7 says something about them, perhaps?
Yeah.
I like to think that, because I would not want to live in that world.
Or why, when we travel, people really think highly of, you know, most places people are pretty interested in Americans and stuff, at least
as individuals,
what I've found.
As individuals,
yeah,
yes.
Exactly, individuals.
If you go over there spouting the government line, they probably won't be as interested.
Well, yeah, I guess it would be about your attitude, or if you're, you know, you're in a big group of tourists holding hands, you know, just staying away from the locals. I guess that's a different attitude, but
yes.
It's true. I mean, we see, is impunity the right word? We get to act with impunity, and
yeah.
Now it's virtually. We don't even have to pull the trigger or drop a bomb. It's some robot or some algorithm or some computer infrastructure.
Right. I've rounded the corner and I see my point again in the distance. Because I started talking about the Boston Marathon to make a point.
Sure.
And that point was that we went to the Mermaid Parade
yes.
This weekend.
Yes. Oh my gosh! Yeah.
The security there was sane. I mean, there were cops all over the place. Yeah. All right, fine. Cops, but we were not searched. We were not under surveillance. I mean, we probably were under surveillance, but not the kind of surveillance that made you feel like you're in a police state. People were doing all kinds of crazy things in the streets. There was open drinking, not a big deal. People were being people. It's exactly the kind of celebration that we need more of, and it's proof that that kind of thing can happen and can be extremely smooth running, and we need to embrace that rather than always talk about the what-ifs and scare ourselves into submission.
There was a sense that people were looking out for each other,
absolutely.
You know, policing themselves. And that is community. That is what a society is capable of. We understand. We have, like, kind of moral compass, if that's even, you know, useful to say. But we're able to judge for ourselves and ought not to be held up to scrutiny or at least recorded so that retroactively we can go back and scrutinize it or have, like, fear be the only thing. As long as we have overwhelming fear for an entire group,
mm-hmm.
that becomes the standard bearer. That's the line we draw just to suppress everything.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's not community. That's not culture. That's a prison,
mm-hmm.
right? That's martial law.
Yeah, and it's imposed from within. Because if you're given freedom, you right away abuse it. You can't handle it. You need somebody to tell you what to do.
Right.
And authorities love that. They really love that kind of outlook.
Oh, yeah.
Because then they can do whatever they want and trample all over your rights. And there is not a single government that would not want to do this. There is not a single political leader who would not want to do this. I see it
now and in...
I see it going down to small boards of people with their little fiefdoms.
Oh,
I see it on the biggest nations on earth. This kind of thing is just, it's the nature of the beast.
Yeah, and that's now, and speaks nothing to the historical precedents.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've got lots of examples. We don't even need to get into them of how that kind of rule and fear affects people.
Right.
And now to see it with information technology and communications technology, something that has defined 21st century, right? It's been a big part of it.
The thing with Snowden, though, the thing that's interesting about this is that if you look at the reaction amongst leaders, you'll see that Democrats seem to be angrier at him than Republicans. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Look at Dianne Feinstein. Although I don't know how she's considered a Democrat, but I guess she is. But you look at just about every political leader, and they're competing with each other to come up with the worst possible punishment for what he did. But what I also find is that Obama supporters are just blindly supporting this surveillance state because it happened under their watch. Even though it's a continuation of a Bush policy, the fact that this is something Obama has put his name on means that it can do no wrong.
Yeah, if you vote for someone or if they're your party representative or something like that, it does not mean that you can't disagree with certain things they're doing.
Right.
There were plenty of Republicans that didn't like the Bush administration and so on and so forth. Clinton was heavily criticized, I think. I don't know. I agree. I've seen a lot of that as well. And, what good does that do for the people, which is who he represents after all?
Right. Well, the people need to speak up, and that's, again, I put the responsibility on the people because they're not speaking up enough. They think that they're just going to be taken care of, and they have no say in all this, and they have a big say in this. And right now, it's they're the victims more than anybody. If you think about what Snowden did, we've seen what Dick Cheney has said about him as far as being a spy for China. We've seen what Fox News has said about him. All kinds of people that simply want to judge him as the most evil type of person. But if you look at what he actually did, are those the actions of somebody working against a country? Are those the actions of somebody spying for a foreign nation? Going someplace and saying publicly what he found out and giving specific information that embarrassed the hell out of the government, out of major corporations like Google and Yahoo and AOL and Facebook and God knows who else. That's basically the actions of somebody with a conscience. And someone with a conscience who might be a bit naive as far as thinking how this is going to be received. Maybe not even getting all the factual bits correct. Who knows? How can one person know everything about this? But it is the truth. It is what he learned. I don't think he made anything up. I don't think anything has been disproven of what he said. Those are not the actions of somebody with evil intent. Those are the actions of somebody who honestly wants to make the world a better place by telling the truth. This is what we've brought up to learn. Tell the truth.
And don't the reactions sort of validate the accusation he's making?
Yeah, they do. They really do. It shows you just how evil and corrupted the system actually is, and how sad the whole situation is as well, that we're not looking at what he revealed. We're looking at, I mean, CNN, the headline is, how do we get this guy back? You know, how the U.S. can get Snowden back? Not, instead of, what in God's name are we going to do about all this surveillance? What are we going to do about this abuse of our liberties? They're journalists, supposedly. They're people that are entrusted to report the news to us, to give us the facts. This guy has provided you with a warehouse full of facts, and you're ignoring them and treating him like O.J. on the run, you know? And it's a missed opportunity of a lifetime.
It's absolutely the case. It's absolutely, to me, an example of media consolidation. These people want to keep their jobs and their salaries, and they're doing what their editors want, so that they can just follow the line, you know, follow the corporate media, so they have sponsors, all of that. It's so glaringly obvious in this situation. And, deplorable.
Yeah.
It's not, not so good.
Not so good at all. I'm browsing the web right now while the computer still works to see if there are any real gems of headlines here. I mean, basically, they're treating him like a fugitive now.
Right. I was going to say also, so they rein him in, say they catch him, right? What is that going to be, people? That's going to be, so he gets incarcerated, probably a trial. Is that what they want?
Of course.
And then how many bits of legislation do they want to staple to him, just attach? Every single law, every single
little provision, addition to these courts and blacking out more pages and making more stuff smothered. And how many more programs will thrive? How many defense and surveillance programs will be spawned out of that kind of manhunt, as we're saying, in big quotations?
Well, now, we have these headlines on Fox News, of course. The U.S. challenges Putin to expel Snowden. Now, somehow this turned into a U.S.-Russia thing. Snowden flew to Russia from Hong Kong. But the reason for that, obviously, is because that's a country that's not simply going to do whatever the United States says. So the people who are accusing him of being a Chinese spy now are accusing him of being a Russian spy. And who knows what else, and it's become evil Putin against the United States, when Putin really has nothing to do with it at all. He just happens to be the leader of the country that Snowden fled to. And it's interesting that we're talking about somebody fleeing to another country for political reasons from the United States. You know, usually we hear about that from other countries. Now we're the country that people flee from to avoid persecution. And another headline here, terrorists changing tactics in wake of surveillance program leaks, according to officials. So now you have this, the story is being spun in this way, where this damage has caused terrorists to learn more about the operations and change their tactics to make it harder to find them.
That's becoming a euphemism for the public.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
We're
right,
the
exactly.
terrorists
We're the
now.
Enemy. We're the enemy
We're
that that people like Bradley Manning shared information with.
Every single one of us. I mean, it's an interesting mental exercise. Where do you go if you disagree with your government and they come after you for leaking or for whistleblowing? Corporate, governmental, whatever. Where do you go if you cannot do that in the U.S., mm-hmm. where we have, quote, freedom of speech? And you know, provisions against unlawful search. Amazing. Where do you go?
Now,
it's something we can all look at.
This one senior U.S. official who spoke to Fox News on the condition of anonymity said, in incredibly vague terms, "We are already seeing indications that they are attempting to change their communications behaviors. That is a direct result of what we are seeing in the media. That is a fact." What is a fact? He didn't say anything.
Right.
People are changing their communication behaviors. What does that mean? And instead of using one email account, they use another. You guys are spying on everything. So what I'd like to know what methods they're using to avoid you guys. I think we all should know that. You know, and the vagaries of this are just simply unreal.
And again, the people that, you know, I hate to use this as an example, but, I mean, Osama bin Laden was using a courier, right?
Yes.
So, but that's kind of a cliched example. I mean, really, it's the kind of thing that you say where you can't prevent certain things. I mean, like the Tsarnaev brothers, they were brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you, or Oklahoma City, or, you know, all these kinds of attacks, if people want to do, if they have an ill will, and they don't have some kind of criminal record or something like that, it's tough to prevent. I mean, in general.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Sorry, we're kind
really
of
hot in here.
It's so hot in here. let's go to delay if that still works, and maybe we can take phone calls and go out and have a soda or something while people talk on the air for us. our phone number is 631-632-6901. Wait, I want to go down here though, and there's a poll actually on the Fox News site. I don't know why I'm gonna look at this. This is going to depress me. Is Edward Snowden a hero or a traitor? Hero, traitor, or neither? Well, I'm not going to vote because this is the USB machine, and I don't want to speak for everybody, but I will view results. All right? Are you okay, Kyle? Did you pass out?
I'm sorry.
You had your head down.
It's really hot here.
Okay.
I can't think.
It's almost over, so at least we don't have a two-hour show.
Right, right.
All right. Is Edward Snowden a hero or a traitor? 35.86% say traitor, 26.82% say hero, but 37.32% say neither. I could live with a neither, you know? If you add the neither to the hero, you have a majority. but it's just it upsets me how many people buy into this. People on people who are Democrats because they just want their side to look good because this happened on their watch. People who work for major technical corporations because, well, their corporations now are being accused of various nefarious deeds and they want to protect their livelihood.
Yep.
And people who really live in fear and believe that we need this kind of thing to stay safe when, in actuality, it does absolutely nothing. All right, again, 631-632-6901. We're going to go into delay, and then we're going to pop back in here, hopefully bright as new, and take your phone calls.
Hi, this is Kathy Fleischman of the Kathy Fleischman Band, and you're listening to WUSB Stony Brook.
And here we are. As promised, once again, the phone number is 631-632-6901. Kyle, did you make it into delay land?
Yeah.
Good, good. Okay, so we're all here.
We
have a full switchboard, so why don't we go to the phones?
Sure.
And alleviate this heat a little bit. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Oh, hi. How are you?
How you doing?
I was calling because, you know, I love, you know, your show. I think you talk about, you know, a lot of great topics. And, you know, one thing about this whole spy program, it reminds me to think that we're kind of forgetting about just like a month ago about how the Obama administration was hacking, like, the AP phone record.
That was a good prelude to all of this. Yes, the AP metadata just the data from phone logs, like a pen register on everybody's phone records at the Associated Press or that particular number of people. Something that in the past, reporters, you do this to reporters, it's not tapping phone lines, not listening in on phone calls, but it's getting a lot of information, sometimes even more information than that, by seeing who talks to whom. And
exactly. And then you have the president of AP came out and said that, like, for the first time, you have, you know, reporters that were, you know, either reporters that were scared to speak with those in government, or those in government actually scared to go, you know, to actually make a phone call or send an email to the reporters because, you know, they'll find out that, you know, even if they're just saying hi to the reporter, just, I don't know, you know, whatever, you know, their name will show up on, you know, that reporter's phone list, and then, you know, they'll be scrutinized, and, you know, who knows what happens after
so
that.
To paraphrase that initial anonymous U.S. official speaking to Fox News, we are already seeing indications that reporters are attempting to change their communications behaviors.
Yes.
Reporters and terrorists.
But I don't know. I mean, I'm 33 years old, and, like, I feel like I've never had my government act like this before.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, this is very, you know, uncomfortable for me to kind of experience, you know, like, this is like stuff, you know, you read about and like, oh, like evil Russia or, you know, something like that.
Well, the,
like,
the fact is they have acted like this before. This is the first time it's been revealed, so that's what's different.
Yeah,
here is that,
yeah,
Snowden revealed this since the Patriot Act. At least our government has been acting this way, and probably well before then as well.
So you know, hey, thanks for taking my call. I appreciate taking my call.
Thanks for listening. And we're going to move on to another call. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Hey, how you doing?
How you doing? Where are you calling from?
Mount Sinai.
Mount Sinai. What's on your mind?
Well, you know, I was listening to the program, and as always, it's really dynamite to hear an honest perspective that you don't usually get in the mainstream media from you folks. And
thanks. We appreciate that.
Dialogue, plus allowing us to call in, is a wonderful, wonderful thing, because freedom of speech is the key to democracy, which is something that we're lacking in this day and age. I do believe that this gentleman, Snowden, is a whistleblower. You know, this all started in 2006. There was an AT&T executive by the name of Klein who had pointed out that the telecommunications industry was spying on Americans illegally. And there was a class action lawsuit, I do believe, that was wiped away when Barack Obama had come into power. That was one of his first acts as president, was to grant immunity to the telephone industry for having spied on Americans prior to 9/11 and then following through 9/11. And that was their window. The Patriot Act just allowed them the ability to do it legally now, you know. And so I do believe Snowden did not trade in secrets with the enemy. I do believe he is just a concerned American citizen, a young man with a certain amount of intellect, and he, you know, rose to the challenge and put himself on the chopping block. And now, you know, I'm sure his life will be ruined and destroyed by his what's going on. And it's unfortunate that he's had to run from justice, because there is no justice in the courts, and he knows it, so he's fleeing.
It's amazing to see people in government saying, well, if he believes what he did was right, he should come back and face the judicial system. And I have to laugh when I hear that, because obviously he's not going to get a fair trial. They are so completely biased against what he did that would be the most insane thing to do.
Yeah, it would seem that the courts of law have become just tools of the powers that be. I mean, there is no true justice anymore. I don't know that there ever really was. I think we've all been guilty until proven innocent, and a lot of times, unless you have a lot of money, that's almost impossible to prove yourself innocent. You know, it's just a sad state of affairs. You know, there's an old saying that you become what you resist, and I think the United States has morphed itself into like this super, hyper, almost like what we were taught as children to fear in the Soviet Union. You know, we have become that entity, or that monster, that behemoth of it's just insanity where we've come. I mean, these people in foreign lands, whether it's Iraq, Afghanistan, Saudi Arabia, none of them have, they really are no threat to me, and they've never done anything to me, and I think that we should learn to respect their sovereignty and leave them alone if that's what they want. You know, it's unfortunate that we pay so much money for dignitaries and diplomats and bureaucrats, and, I mean, it's costing us $1 billion, and we're getting nothing for it. I mean, I think that, you know, if war is always going to be the answer, then we really don't need all this bureaucracy that we obviously can't afford anyways. But, you know, it's just so unfortunate. I mean, we could go on all night with this topic. I mean, it's a sad situation that we find the United States of America in at this stage. And as you said, pointed out so eloquently before, we used to be the place where people would come to flee horrendous acts. And now people, American citizens, are having to run from us, you know?
I think that if there's any hope of changing, it lies with the people, because the government is not going to do this. They're not going to change their tactics at all. But if people start believing that these kinds of revelations are to our advantage, that this is something that should be encouraged and not punished, they'll have to listen to that, especially if we speak up and are vocal about it. But what I'm seeing now, I'm seeing most people just buying into it and agreeing that, yeah, this kind of thing is a threat. We must all be kept under surveillance at all times. We have these enemies. Even though the enemies are concepts like drugs and terror, we are going to try and turn those into actual groups of people and countries.
I read an article the other night. Now, this is a bit off topic, but it revealed that six investigators in Flight 800 said that the whole thing was a lie. So there you have your government, who you hope would do the right thing, lie to us about Flight 800. And now, once again, you know, how can we trust them in any other venue? I mean, we can't. And that's frightening. When you can't trust the United States of America to be honest and sincere, and to see the American people fall prey to all of this. I mean, like you said, I mean, they're giving up their freedoms for safety. Safety from what? The only thing we have to fear is our own government. You know, they've become the monster that is trying to destroy the world, it seems, you know?
Yeah, if you provide any evidence of actions that were prevented because of more surveillance, I'm sure people can point out exactly why that would have happened anyway, or how these particular controls on us have caused more harm than anything else.
We have to fear these other people in other lands. I think the biggest thing that we have to fear right now is the crippled reactors in Fukushima in Japan, and that's totally out of the media. They're not even addressing that. And you know, I mean, I think that's a greater threat to homeland security than anything we could ever possibly face, and they're not talking about that. But we're going to keep worrying about people who, I think, you know, I mean, they're still like in primitive times. I mean, they still use donkeys and carts, and they don't have a navy, they don't have an air force, and I don't really think that they have a desire to come here. They just don't want us to be there, you know?
How dare they? Thanks for your call. Where are you calling from, sir?
I'm Mount Sinai.
Great. Did I ask you that already? You're the second Mount Sinai caller.
Did. And keep up the great work. Right. I really enjoy your show.
Thanks. Thanks for your call. You know, I'm starting to lose it. I'm forgetting who I asked where they were from.
He sounds like he has air conditioning.
Wow. All right. We're getting a lot of calls. 631-632-6901. So that's good. That'll help us keep our minds off our heat stroke, impending heat stroke. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Good evening, Emmanuel. This is Bobson from Bulgaria.
It's Bobson from Bulgaria. How about that? How you doing out there?
Well, I was a bit worried that the streams of WUSB were down, so I haven't heard anything you have been talking about so far.
What, the stream was down?
Well, still is, for what I can...
Wait, are you telling us right now that we're not broadcasting to the Internet?
Not as far as I can tell.
How do you like that?
Should I run back and shake the mainframe?
Okay, Kyle, in this heat, do not run anywhere.
Well,
use your cane, walk back there slowly, and see if the machine is, you know, I'm surprised the machine is even powered on at all in this kind of heat.
Maybe we should...
well, is it on site?
But this is... Okay, University, I hope you're listening to this. You've lost us, a good percentage of our listeners now, because everything is overheated so much we can't even broadcast to the Internet.
What if the transmitter overheated? That would be terrible.
If the transmitter overheated, then all we're doing is talking to ourselves in this room, because there's nothing left after that. All right, Carl's gone to look at the wreckage of the machine in the other room. Bobson, what's on your mind? Have you heard any? We're talking about Ed Snowden.
Well, I've heard things about... I hear there are people who know where he is and that he is safe.
Yes.
There was something on Democracy Now! Today about how I'm blanking on the name of the person who's in London at the Ecuadorian embassy. He said
Julian Assange.
Yes, Assange
yes.
said that he knows where Snowden is and how he is safe, which makes me feel good about, well, not good, better about the situation of him disappearing in Moscow.
The point is, he could be almost anywhere because nobody has seen him in Moscow as far as officially. They've said he's in Moscow, but we haven't seen any pictures of him. We haven't really gotten confirmation. So he could have been taken almost any place that's safe. But the thing is, he deserves better than that. He deserves to be not transported around like a nuclear weapon or something. He should be thanked for what he did, and I hope that I live to see the day when that happens in this country.
There's some unconfirmed rumors that reached me that he was allegedly booked to a Moscow to flight to Cuba.
Here's what happened. This is priceless. Basically, he booked a ticket to Havana, Cuba yesterday. And everybody seemed to know what flight it was. I guess it was only one flight on Aeroflot from Moscow to Havana. And a bunch of journalists wound up getting tickets on that same flight. He didn't show up on the flight. He just didn't show up. But all those journalists were stuck on the flight. They all had to fly from Moscow to Havana without the guy they wanted to talk to being there in the first place.
I heard that they didn't start.
Oh, the rumors that reached me about that flight was it's a 20-hour flight. And someone somehow changed stuff in the flight company's database, making it a Muslim-only flight, so no drinks allowed on board, no alcohol allowed on board.
Is that what happens when you change it to a Muslim-only flight? Is that such a thing?
Well, it's as I said, it's an unconfirmed rumor, but... apparently some flag in some databases said that no alcohol was...
Yeah, Kyle, I know you heard something like that.
Yeah, there was an article in The Guardian today sort of following up on everything, and they said apparently that there was no alcohol served on that particular flight. I believe it was a Reuters reporter.
So all these journalists were stuck on this plane for, what, over 10 hours to Havana?
20 hours is the flight from Moscow to Havana, from what I hear.
Uh-huh. Well, what do they do? Are they going to stay there? Are they going to come right back? They must really be angry. But that's interesting. Hey, Bobson, we're going to move on to some other callers because we are getting more calls. But,
right, I'm waiting for the recording of the
Yeah, well, we'll get the recording up.
Great night, then.
I apologize to all the people who can't hear us live. You might want to write to the university and say, don't blast 100-degree heat at us, and maybe our equipment will work. I'm just getting more and more aggravated about this.
Better get better, and by better I mean cools off a bit.
Yeah, yeah, and that we actually get some working equipment. Thanks, Bobson, and we'll see you at home, I take it, right?
I hope so.
All right, cool.
A great night.
And, yes, we're going to be at OHM, the hacker camp taking place in the Netherlands this summer from July 31st to August the 4th, I believe. And we have a 2,600 village.
Yes.
And that's going to be a ton of fun. We'll talk about it some more tomorrow, I think, on Off the Hook. But
yes.
Please join us. Please be a part of that. OHM2013.org is the website. We have another phone call, 631-632-6901. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Yeah, how you doing? I'm a hick. I dialed 631... and I'm in the 631 area code. I know better.
What happens when you do that?
Fine. You know, what did they do to this America? Because if I go down to Family Dollar up the road, this is Brad from Brentwood, and I take something worth 99 cents, they uh-huh. will just jump all over me. But I remember this guy, Ollie North, what he did, and, you know, most of those clowns were barely even convicted or didn't do a day in jail. And the most intelligent one, Admiral Poindexter, did.
Uh-huh.
Country is nothing like what it was supposed to be, could have been, and should have been, and should be. There's potential. I'm not being negative, but look what they're doing.
Yeah, we need a do-over. We need to start again and get it right, because it's gotten so completely messed up right now that I don't know how to fix it.
Peter doesn't have an original thought in his head. He comes and he speaks at the Republican dinners and says, oh, yeah, I think it's right to put someone's head underwater to get something out of them. Well, we know that doesn't work.
Wait, who are you talking about?
Peter King. But
oh,
he said
God,
that.
Yeah, don't get me started on him.
The Bushes were in office, and he was trying to be a pseudo-tough guy because it's not an original thought, Peter.
Yeah, yeah.
But thank you. Thank you, you know.
Uh-huh. Anything else on your mind?
I'm sorry?
Anything else on your mind?
Yeah, there's so much of this crap from America heading over that way. That poor guy Snowden in Russia.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just being funny, but you know what? It's just so terrible.
Uh-huh.
How ridiculous. And you're after a guy like that. Oh, I have an important thing. Every soldier that came across any of this, it was their job by international law to report this stuff, and they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, this whole thing's a criminal entity to be hiring soldiers and not even backing up what they promised, the packages they would give them, and not backing up their health care properly, having a terrible VA hospital health care for them at the other end of their life that comes sooner than it should have because they got to wait forever to get help when they're sick, and so on and so forth. This is, it's just, you know, and all this surveillance stuff,
mm-hmm.
money being spent, I dare you to try to sit down, Peter King, and try and figure out any of all these copies. You got two copies of my emails today? I emailed the guy from the band from elementary school today. He played sax. What are you going to get out of that? How ridiculous. And but all this zillions is going to contractors for this stuff. And in the meantime, schools are out of money. Everything's collapsing. People are starving. It's a war against the poor. It's pathetic.
Yeah. Well, we got to keep talking about it, and we have to oppose this and get to those people that are saying they support what the government is doing and convince them that that's not the way to go, and they will not benefit from that.
And again, Emmanuel, because if we oppose it, then it's like, you know, they'll just put you away forever, and you can't even talk to them. You can't even get legal representation, and if you do, they're in the room.
Yeah, well, they can't put everybody away, and the more people that speak up against this, the stronger the opposition obviously will be. Hey, thanks for your phone call.
And likewise, thanks for all you're doing, Off the Wall, Off the Hook, and BAI and USB.
All right, thank you. Take care. Always good to hear from our listeners. I'm going to pop out of delay now. We got a lot of phone calls. Sorry those we didn't get to, but you can always write to us, otw@2600.com. Always good to hear the voices of the people out there. It's too bad we couldn't hear from anybody on the Internet. I didn't know the Internet was down, but not surprised. I'm surprised anything is working in this place.
The equipment was on, I checked. But
it was on, but...
It is in some state of disrepair.
Oh, okay. Well... Finn just walked by with a very serious look on his face, so maybe he'll fix it for us. We'll see. But in any event, obviously, if you're listening to this online, you're listening to it after it was live. So please write to us, and we can at least read what you had to say. We got a bunch of people who wrote into us over the last couple of weeks, and I kind of like to spend a little bit of time addressing that. This person wrote in to say people do still listen. I just wanted to say, although I don't get the chance to listen to Off the Wall or Off the Hook live, I download them and listen to them the first chance I get. I think what you guys are doing is great. You're providing a great service by giving people an outlet to express what is on their minds. Sadly, not enough people seem to call in and take advantage of this. Hopefully, the people upstairs figure out that radio does still matter and give shows like this one the support that they deserve. How about entire stations like this one the support it deserves? Because, believe me, this is a very unique and valuable place that you won't find very many places. One thing I want to mention, I think it was on the last Off the Wall, someone mentioned radio waves traveling out into space. There's an old Nickelodeon show called The Adventures of Pete and Pete. And in one episode, they talk about this sort of thing. The main character meets this weird kid who is always talking about the 1958 championship game of the Baltimore Colts and the New York Giants. Towards the end of the episode, it's revealed that the kid is from outer space, and he first heard the game in 1991 after the sound waves traveled 365 billion miles through space. That's the first thing I thought of while listening to this week's show. Keep up the good work, and thank you for that piece of mail. From JSTG is the name I'm seeing here. And we've gotten a lot of other pieces of mail, too, from many listeners who want us to continue doing what we're doing. That's no better show of support. So many words I'm drawing a blank on just because it's hard to concentrate. But
that was a good show, though, Pete and Pete.
That was a good show, yes. Yeah. But to further illustrate some of the things that we're talking about, this is a story that appeared a couple of days ago. A photographer was arrested outside a Bushwick, Brooklyn police station after he refused officers' demands to tell them why he was taking pictures. And this is the kind of thing we're talking about, where we just give up liberties. We assume that it's for good reason, and when you question it, right away you're the bad guy. Cops arrested photographer Sean Randall Thomas and gave him two summonses for disorderly conduct. But Thomas says he was unlawfully arrested for photographing the building, and has filed a complaint against officers alleging abuse and corruption. I wasn't acting up. I was trying to be inconspicuous, he said. Cops charged him with two counts of disorderly conduct, blocking the driver at the station, obscene language, things like that. He said he'd been photographing the station for about an hour before his arrest. He took a video on his smartphone that shows a plainclothes officer demanding he stop taking pictures of the Housing Bureau of Police Service Area 3. "You're making a lot of people feel very uncomfortable," said the officer, who identified himself as Officer Soto. "How do I know you're not a terrorist taking pictures? So you can figure out where you're going to put a bomb." And this is kind of simplistic thinking that we have to face every single day for taking pictures. And I think the response to this, people need to take pictures of every single police station in the country just to show that this is not the answer. Take pictures of every single bridge, every single tunnel, everything you can think of, because we have that right. You give that up, you're not going to get it back.
Yeah, if he was on a public street, was he on a public street?
Of course.
Was there a sign that says no photography?
Well, would that sign make it any more legal?
No, I'm just saying, was there any posting? Even if there wasn't a posting, then how was he supposed to know in the first place? You know, he's just supposed to infer that any building that has any sort of executive sort of enforcement role is, like, off limits. And, yeah, I agree. Like, you should photograph every single police station. It's not suspicious to photograph things that are interesting, that are infrastructure, that are buildings, that are part of the military-industrial complex, whatever you want.
Kyle, it's suspicious to stand up for your rights and to say that you can do something when you're told you can't. It's very suspicious.
To who?
To whom? To whom? Well, to the authorities and to the populace who've been basically quelled into submission and never questioned. Suspicious to them. We have to change that. We have to make it so that that's the rule, not the exception. People acting and claiming their rights because those rights are important.
What's suspicious is those authority figures telling me that I can't photograph.
So what are we going to take a picture of now? We got to go out and take a picture of something.
Whatever we want.
Yeah, exactly. That's what we're going to be doing.
Whatever we want.
We are out of time. Hour has gone by, and yeah, we're sweating like pigs, but we do have to get out of here. Finn's in here for 2 hours. I don't know how he's going to survive. That's going to be something else. It could be fun to listen to these shows, folks. Just listen for a couple hours, and you'll hear the life draining out of the DJs that are on the air, because this place is 100 degrees again, and I don't know how it's going to end. It's not going to end well. Speaking of things not ending well, James Gandolfini, what a shock that was to see that actor pass away before his time last week. And we're going to go out with a theme to the show he was known for. The theme, as it was originally, before the show ever aired, by a group called the Alabama Three, or just Alabama Three, and that song was used. And it was kind of a perfect song, I think, for that particular series. But, Kyle, I understand you're going back to Seattle pretty soon.
Not sure exactly.
It's funny, because we haven't planned. We know we're going to be doing a lot of things this summer as far as the hacker camp and going to various other places. If you have suggestions as to places we should go, why not write us and suggest it? Who knows? We kind of plan things at the last moment. We don't know when you're going back to Seattle exactly. Don't know when I'm heading over to Europe or where we're going afterwards or anything like that. And it's kind of interesting. It's kind of fun to not know, and also very flexible. So, again, our email address, otw@2600.com. Any final words from the Inferno here?
Well, not really. Just... please support WUSB and keep listening and keep discussing things with your friends and family and neighbors and stuff. Thanks for having me.
And if you have air conditioning, folks, or just are in a cool climate, just enjoy it and pray for us. Hopefully we'll be back next week. Have a good night.